Hello, friends, and welcome to another issue of Portographic. This is going to be issue number 38. I'm Brian Mann.
I'm Brian Mitchell.
I'm Eric Mitchell.
Mike Rojas.
Rojas. I know I joked last time about
rolling the R's.
I will not roll the R, and that comes from a story I can talk about later.
Well, okay.
Is it PG?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's PG for Portographic. Okay, well, we have
a podcast
that's broken into four sections.
What are those sections, Brian?
The first one is compare. What do we do in that section, Brian?
Well, we compare comics that all or at least most of the podcast are currently reading.
We do, okay.
Then we have the share.
That's right. And Mike, what do we do in the shares?
We share books that no one else reads.
Okay. I think the next one's dare, and
I believe that's where we dare each other to read books that we wouldn't usually read.
I think that's how it went.
Okay.
What's the last one? What's the last one, Eric?
I think that's impaired.
And what does that involve?
Could you spell it for me?
And ladies and gentlemen in the business, that's what we call a callback, except this callback is about 2 years old. It has been buried in the desert, filled with lime.
Sorry.
And somehow it's impaired. Impaired.
Well, how do we get impaired, though?
Yeah. How do we get impaired, Eric?
Well,
cocaine,
heroin? During our podcast, we drink a lot of beer. And we try to drink beers that we have never had before. So, and then we review them at the end. And yeah.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it is.
So,
man.
We can go ahead and start with our first beer.
Okay.
Let's do that. We're going to start with Ballast Point Mango Even Keel Session IPA.
Do we have this?
It's a mouthful.
The Even Keel?
Unclear.
This is the 2019 Even Keel.
Indeed.
It's different.
I was totally going to. So Schlafly has raspberry Hefeweizen in cans now. I was totally going to bring that and be like, this is the canned version. But I don't think it's come to Kansas City yet, so okay. Hold off on that.
Regardless, I usually like me some Ballast Point. So
yeah, what is it? The Rogue or something?
The Grapefruit Sculpin.
But there's, isn't there?
Oh, there's a Red Velvet. Nitro, that's really good. I have a sour too. I want to say,
what's the one that was like it was like a juicy.
I don't know. They have a lot of good.
The
ones.
Juicy IPA. Anyway, who cares?
The sour, man, it had like I can picture it. It had like
a skeleton.
Skeleton. Yeah.
Yeah. Like in a witch or something. I thought it was like a witch something.
It's like a skeleton on a boat and stuff like. Yeah. The captain of a boat.
Well, last time you thought a lumberjack was a bear. So.
Yeah, well.
It happens. It happens. As you do.
I mean, he's got a Batman leprechaun, so.
Don't judge.
Well, I mean, it is St. Patrick's Day, you know, this week that we are recording, so.
That's true.
All right, so they have the Sculpin, the Fathom IPA,
mm-hmm.
Grapefruit Sculpin, regular Sculpin. Apparently,
what,
I'm just scrolling through the
a
same.
Sculpin? Is it a type of fish?
I think it is a fish because it's got that weird looking like algae eater.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think that's the word that Tom King's kid
got
out of the spelling bee on, because he then tweeted like, "What the hell is a sculpin?"
You know what? He should make a new Batman villain called the Sculpin.
The Sculpin. He skulks around sculpting.
Yeah. I'm serious. Tom King, hit me up. Got some good ideas.
I feel like he's got plenty of his own.
Oh, I'm sure. Speaking of Tom King and stuff that he writes, Batman 66. Not to be confused with Adam West
Batman 66.
This is Batman Rebirth number 66. I just want to start out. Is it not great to see Tom King's name back as the writer of Batman?
Yes. 100%.
Yeah, I was excited that it was back to him.
Now, before we get too far, there was very little actual Batman to be had in this issue.
But yet it was still really good.
Technically, there was.
There was Batman. but like,
are you saying technically this is all in his head? So right. Technically, it's all Batman.
No, I mean technically, you're right. I mean technically,
smells really good.
I really liked kind of the throwback art to Frank Miller's Year One. I mean, there were many panels that were just almost indistinguishable from the original, okay. Which I thought was
that was the first thing. I wrote. Also, it seemed really nostalgic.
I liked it better on my second read. Like the first time I read through it, I think I kind of felt like what you were saying was like, wow, there's really not a whole lot of Batman in that. Just let it, but.
A lot of questions.
Giving it some more time, and because I read through that the first read through, I'm just like
burning through it, to see what's going on. Was,
yeah, and then when I go back and take my time on the second read, it usually things pop out a little bit better, and
I feel like Neil Gaiman did a lot of that with Sandman, where there would be almost entire story arcs where you wouldn't even see Sandman. It was just a story inserted in the comic and the main character wasn't even there. Huh. So the fact that Batman, I mean, yes, he was obviously there because it's in his head, didn't really bug me so much because I thought it was an interesting story. Yeah. I mean, even the, I'm not the answer, I'm the question. Yes. I mean, I saw that coming a mile away and I still laughed.
Well, what's really funny was I was reading this and I was like, man, I hope Brian doesn't realize that this is the questioner off the back, and he starts writing down hate messages to Tom King about, why can't this dude have a face? Why can't he have a crappy art? Jesus Christ.
Can't even draw a mouth.
Where are the eyes?
That would have been good.
I also would have liked a Rorschach reference thrown in, because wasn't the question originally supposed to be Rorschach in the Chilton comics?
I don't know.
Okay. I thought I remember that from our Watchmen the Deep Dive. But
I kind of feel like the comic was, I guess, complex, because it's essentially what Batman thinks of himself, but we are seeing it through Cat's eyes within Bruce's head.
Yeah. Layers upon layers.
It's like an onion.
No. He's not an ogre, sir.
Okay, fair enough. And I'm not.
So in
donkey.
Wow. So in terms of progressing the story, I don't know that it moved us forward at all, but it was still a really cool story.
Well, yeah,
and I think we're too harsh a little bit sometimes, because if this truly is a 105 book story arc, I mean, one issue is 1% of the story. So not every book has to make Correct. Monumental leaps.
Plus, I don't know if we're going to even see it progressing, because he said that the reader's supposed to be as confused as Bruce is.
Well, he certainly achieved that. So, next to talk about here is the beer. What do we think?
It's delightful.
Really good.
Yeah.
It is, I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. It, I don't like the finish.
It has, yeah, it's a little bit, I guess, sharper or harsher than most IPAs I've had.
It almost feels, I hate to like say the bitter word, yeah, but that's not what it is.
No, it's got a little bitter finish to it.
Yeah. Yeah,
which I don't. It doesn't bug me, man. I like the IPA to just tear the enamel right off my teeth. I want it just chock full of hops.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like those people who like 3/4 cup of sugar and then a little coffee poured on top. You're like, I want 3/4 of hops, and then just pour a little water. Little, maybe a little barley. That's it. That's all we need. Okay. Unnatural number 8.
I feel like we might have a little differing opinion on this.
Well, we might.
Which is okay, because the book has completely changed from what we started off with. What we started off with felt like a kind of a Orwellian, the reproduction centers, and you have to be with your like kind, and I felt like there was a moralistic tale being told there.
Most certainly.
And now it's gone completely to the spirit of the albino wolf. you know, possessing Leslie and
and like some shamanistic powers. I really like, before I get to the less than positive part, I like the journey that Leslie's taken, because she always felt like she was important, but was always treated unimportantly and didn't really do anything to make herself important. But through the story, life has put obstacles in her way where she's overcome them, and she now is more important than she realizes, obviously. And I like that the mystery is still there. However, it bugs me that we've had 4 major story arc changes in 8 books. And you've obviously had a plan, because book 3 is the finale, which means you've had all of this chambered up. You knew what you were going to write.
I think it was already published in Italy. Okay. I mean, it's reprints for us. And I get what you're saying, but to me, it's such a wild ride, and it's not like it's a, air quotes, serious book. I don't feel like it's I'm okay with a little shenanigans.
I am too. It's just, I feel like we complain a whole bunch about, oh, books could be 10 issues instead of 12, or 3 issues instead of 5. This, I almost want it to draw out more. Like, you have 2 issue story arc. I mean, you could have easily made that a 3rd issue, or even longer. Like, this whole thing is going to total 12 issues, and I feel like it could be easily double that. And I don't know why because the problem is Mirka Andolfo is both the writer and the artist. So it's not like you're waiting on anybody to do anything. Like, you could have taken all of the time that you wanted to do this, and you only decided to be in this world for 12 issues.
But I'm kind of okay with that. I don't think, I don't know, this world is rich enough that I need 24 issues to tell the story that whatever it ends up being. I mean, heck, there's a pretty big shoe to drop in this one, that the villain is, spoiler, 1, 2, 3, her mom.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. So I think
she comes from like a long bloodline of whatever those people were called.
At the end of the day, we're both enjoying the comic. You just wish it were more, and I'm just pretty happy with where it's at.
And I'm sure it's just like,
can't leave the audience wanting more.
Right. Which she's doing, obviously, which is probably part of the goal. It's just, I hate that this has already been printed. You already have the 12 issues chambered, and there has been no word of additional issues or another story, or it just feels like when this is over, it's over. It's great. No, it's like a Frostbite. You know, it was only like 5 or 6 issues, and it was like,
yeah. And I certainly wanted more of that.
Just keep going, or Reborn, or, you know, we can sit here for a year and talk about all that stuff. Okay, but only 4 issues left of that, from what it seems. Die number 4. Is this just you and me again?
Yeah, I think so. It's the Brian and Brian show. we'll be speedy.
So I feel like when I say these next words, it's going to seem less enthused about the book than I really am. But it's not Magic Order. And it's not like Gideon Falls level. But it's a close 3rd for pretty much the best book out there for me right now.
I don't know that I can go that far. I like it better than Gideon Falls. Gideon Falls, there's just so much wacky stuff going on. It's hard to kind of figure out where you're at. This is pretty straightforward. And you've got, this issue is mostly about the team dysfunction. Yeah. You know, the old wounds and mistrust of 20 plus years of being separated. And then coming together for a quest with 3 keys and 3 dungeons. And 12 perils. It's got some really good storytelling mixed in. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I really like it as well. You know, there's really not much to report for the actual like story arc, because we're like right in the middle of it here. But It's definitely a solid, solid book.
It felt like to me more that it was, you know, the whole team dysfunction and getting that out of the way before then we go on our quest.
Well, I mean, you have to think about they're not only bringing the past experiences and all that other BS, but they're bringing in 20 years of real life experiences and all that BS into it. So that's definitely going to cause some giant crevasses of things that they have to go over.
Yeah, I think I saw somewhere this is on like a second or third printing.
Number one is on fourth printing.
Yeah.
And number three is already on second printing. It just came out like 4 weeks ago. Doomsday Clock number 9.
I feel like, and I think we've said this before, but I feel like this is just it's suffering because of such of the long times between the issues. Like I just have a hard time getting back into it and so really caring.
11/27/17 was the first one, then 12/27/17, 1/24/18, 3/28/18, 5/30/18, 7/25/18, 9/29/18, 12/5/18. 3/6/18, and then the next one is supposed to be in April 10th. So, like to your point, I mean, just huge yeah. gaps.
If that one actually makes April, that's
good. Yeah,
that's getting more back into line. But
so what are the plot points? Does anybody even remember the plot points?
Well, they're tying it into Doomsday.
This is,
I think.
What do you mean?
Here's a crisis.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because I had a question further down that I wrote out because it's hard to tell because this has spanned such a long, long time. Are we still staying the course with, hey, this is about the rebirth? Or are we now tacking on to Heroes in Crisis?
I just really liked at the beginning of it. I loved the new Rorschach. I liked the mime and the marionette and the Joker dynamic between the three of them. Even the Viet Adrian mm-hmm. part, like he hasn't been in an issue. I mean, other than I think we see him sitting in a chair, like maybe that was 8.
It was this issue at the end. You see his bracer on an armchair.
So I don't know.
It's like one of the very last panels.
I think if they weren't released so far apart, that wouldn't be that big of an issue.
Exactly.
Probably not.
So in the original Watchmen, it was 13 months. For 12 issues. It was September of 87 to October of 88.
So reasonable.
Obviously it's reasonable. And this one started in November of 2017, and the current schedule they're on, it won't end until, if they do a month, it won't end until July of 2019. That'll be...
And more likely, it's going to end up being probably closer to that November.
Closer to that two-year mark.
Really 2 years.
Yeah. So, you're talking about significant delays.
That's too long to tell that complex of a story.
Sure. Supposedly, when this is supposed to be like one of your...
Flagship
decade books. Because, I mean, when was the... I mean, literally, you're continuing a story that is... regarded as one of the best graphic novels of all time, you know.
Well, and it was supposed to be set like 6 months ahead of the regular DC universe, to where then when it wrapped, the rest of the DC universe was supposed to get caught up to it, and you have everything happening, you know, as 12 comes out of this, then everything is also happening in those other books, and it's all... you know, it all works together. And I mean, those writers on the other books, I mean, how are you ever supposed to make it work when
this is just delayed and delayed and delayed?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the confusing parts for me was, what's her name? Giganta at the very end busts into the building where Wonder Woman is giving the speech.
Yeah.
She's also in the Wonder Woman comic, which I'm going to talk about.
And you had said that you didn't understand how the questions in Batman.
No. I just thought it was interesting that the question was in Batman, and then the question pops up when in you this.
See it, him very often.
In yes, the I was like, is there some set of continuity?
So, how do you think it's tying into Heroes?
Well, where's it at? Lex, when Lex was talking to Lois,
yes,
he brings up Wally, and he says, Wally is one of his victims.
What?
I didn't, Dr. Manhattan.
Which makes me think, yeah, Dr. Manhattan may have been at Sanctuary.
Oh, God. If they do that, I don't know about
so,
that.
I had a hard time deciding whether it was, are we still back on the old Rebirth storyline where Wally West was pretty prominent in the Rebirth?
Right, because when Wally comes back, he knows someone has messed with the timeline, and it's alluded to that it's Dr. Manhattan at that point.
Or is this just so far behind that now what happens in Heroes in Crisis gets kind of jumbled up with this storyline?
That would...
It was honestly, it was Booster that knew something was going on.
Yeah, but Booster can travel through time as well. So.
Right, that's why he pointed it out.
Right.
In an earlier book.
And did somebody say last time when we were doing the Heroes in Crisis that it was a blue flash of light there in Heroes in Crisis 2, right as Booster walks in and Harley walks in,
so
and see Wally.
So yeah, so, I think there was,
but it was like this blue.
But it was from Booster's like hand cannon. But
we think
that's right, what I took it.
We
as.
Think if so, that's the case, man. I don't know about that. Like, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that. Personally, I think that's not going to be great. If, yeah,
I don't know if it is or not, because I mean, I feel like Tom King just.
I mean, because that makes it almost feel like Tom King wrote the Heroes in Crisis just because they needed something to fill the void end of this.
But I don't think he did. I mean, I think he had an idea. The PTSD is the focal point of Heroes in Crisis.
I think we might be reading way too much into this.
Well, it's hard not to.
I know, because they're, I mean.
So something just on an art note. So usually No Words pisses me off. I believe I'm on record about that. But man, I would hang a print. Like, yeah, I would hang a print of any one of those on the wall down here.
I love the background one. Yeah. That's my favorite one.
Dude, I mean, and that's a pretty awesome lasso of truth as well.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, if you flip to the very last page of that, did we not see Veet in the arm? Okay, it must have been another issue then. I thought, like, one of the very last panels, it was like...
Yeah, I think it was last issue. I think it was 8 that you...
But, yeah, probably true.
So let me ask you this, because this is also done quite a bit of nostalgia in this book. Like, I'm trying to find the page where, I mean, that's lifted straight out of Watchmen. Do we like this because it's the, hey, I know this guy syndrome? Or is it really good? Or do we just not know until the end?
So I could see where people are like, oh, hey, I know that guy. But for me, it brings forth the fact that the creator of that, which is Geoff Johns and Gary Frank, they have studied and have done the due diligence about the Watchmen universe. They understand that people who love the Watchmen, the only way that they're going to get them to be okay with Doomsday Clock is as if they hold as true as possible to those characters, because it would be so easy for them to make Dr. Manhattan one way or the other, but to keep him exactly the same as Alan Moore would have done is a feat in and of itself. So I could see where people would say, oh, hey, the picture's there, it's the same picture that, you know, blah, blah, blah. But for me, it's one of those things where...
It just lends to the credibility of the book.
Yes. To where you know that this is really Dr. Manhattan making these logical time as a line kind of ideas.
I kind of want to bring up the fight in the beginning. I think Brian Mann said, you don't like Superman because he's invincible. Mm-hmm. There's no human part. You know what I mean? Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, Captain Marvel... AKA Shazam, gave Superman a run for his money right before Doomsday punched his clock. So if he's there, as well as all the other heroes except for Superman and Wonder Woman, and they can't touch him.
Yeah, what hope is Superman going to have of touching him?
Yeah.
Well, but you know who was there? My man, Guy Gardner.
I knew it. We almost got through.
Almost I knew we were that panel it. Where he punched him, it looked like he cracked his neck.
Oh, yeah. It didn't look like it went well for him. But, you know, it's also kind of neat to include a Green Lantern from that same time period as the original Watchmen, because that's when Guy Gardner was in his heyday with Justice League, you know, around that same time period.
One of the things also that I liked for continuity's sake is the way that Dr. Manhattan regenerates, which is the same way that he regenerates cool. yep. in the Watchmen. Yeah. So, yeah. But just in a conclusion here, the massive gaps in the publication of this have just shot, not in the foot, but I mean, it almost suicidally.
Yeah, because I feel like when I get the last one, I'm not even going to read it. I'm going to go back and just reread all the ones before it and then read the last one, because there's been such huge gaps. And you're talking about changing plot points, you know, in Unnatural. I mean, heck, we've been all over the place with this book.
Well,
it wasn't Kite Man, but who was... Mothman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was a giant section about him.
Part, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Dude, and honestly, that seems like it was a different book now.
Yes.
I mean, and I know it's the same book, but I mean, you're talking about
vigilante stories to we're on Mars with every superhero
available
possible.
Yeah.
You know, it's just completely flipped from what it started off as.
And I think one of the great things about The Watchmen that this book is obviously not done is you could have blown it up, but it stayed Night Owl, Silk Spectre, Rorschach.
Yeah.
You know, it stayed those people. You didn't expand it. And now here, it's like it starts out with, Rorschach 2, and then, you know, you added the mime and the marionette, and then you added the little DC characters, and then eight, nine books in, it's like, oh, it's everybody.
Friends unite.
Yeah, and it's like, I get it, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, we will just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
What do you think the implications of Professor Stein making himself into Firestorm will be if that comes to light?
See, I don't even know that I care. Because I'll have to wait 6 months for the answer. And I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm just being a realist here, you know, because I mean.
Yeah, I really want to like this book. And I think when I go back and reread them all together, I'm going to. But at this point, I'm just fatigued with the wait in between.
Yeah.
And the trying to.
Well, and because it's not even so much as. To me, it's BS because the waits between, because they have announced dates and then like 2 weeks before it comes out, it's like, oh, no, we're pushing it back. Oh, and then that date comes and no, we're pushing that back. Okay. So do you have the book or do you not have the book?
Well, maybe it's to Eric's point. Maybe it's the we're trying to keep when 12 wraps up, it's going to impact the whole DCU. So we're trying to keep all these books on a schedule to where that happens.
What are they trying to? Heroes in Crisis and Watchmen 12 come out, or they end at the same time?
I wish I was a fly on the wall. Ring up Mr. Lee.
Yeah.
What are you doing, dude?
What's going on? What are you doing, Mr. Lee?
Second beer of the pod is Brooklyn Brewery Bel Air Sour Party Tartly.
It's got a good tagline.
Mm-hmm. Our last compare for this week is going to be a new offering from Boom Comics, Ronin Island. So, Mike, you had read this as well.
I did.
What made you pick this book up? I'm very interested.
Sam Raimi on the cover.
Okay. That's kind of what did it for me as well.
But I will say this.
The Greg Pak also did it for me a little bit.
For being probably the one... here that's less concerned about the art, it seemed like Everybody's nose was drawn the exact same way.
Well, I mean, they're all Japanese people.
We're all white people.
Oh, wow.
So we're boiling in the pot for that.
Okay. So I'm going to explain myself so that I don't get absolutely blasted. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Help me dig out.
Are you happy about yourself right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Japan is a small island, a set of them. In the Pacific Ocean.
Okay.
That for hundreds of thousands of years.
The nose fairy.
Did not have contact with outside traders and had a code of honor that believed procreating with other people that were not your kind was not the way to go.
Well, they did have contact with outside traders.
But not in the same, not like fornicating with outside traders.
I thought maybe the emperor just came up and we like give an order and then you have to do nose goes. And keep touching their nose.
Why are you doing this to me, dude?
To see who
are you doing this?
To do it?
Why are you doing this? Stop blowing holes in my shit.
So I thought
the Kleenex.
I thought the competition was funny. She was tripping them and trying to get any step ahead she could. And the one time he did it to her, she flipped out.
Did you enjoy this book?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. I had a problem with it. If you're going to do zombies in feudal Japan, just go ahead and do it. Like, make it like the elder has like hidden knowledge of a special sword or something that was forged in the fires of Mount Doom for 1,000 years, and Frodo has to go and drop the ring, and you know.
I see what you're saying, but I'm not 100% sold that it's zombies. Like, I have zombies, or
I mean,
mutated people or monsters, because they're talking about the Great Wind.
And he looks pretty mutated there. He's got his nose looks the same, but I mean,
fuck.
Too soon.
You have to wait at least 2 years for a callback, okay? We've already established that. I'm going to keep picking it up because I like it.
I'll give it one more. The kind of manga style art really turned me off. The story was decent. Decent. I feel like it's just, it earned another issue.
Yeah, I just that was, when I read it, I was like, yeah, I really like this. And then it got to the mutation or zombies or whatever we're going to call them. It just felt like there was a much better way to present that, as kind of like a...
Just kept expecting Chim Chim from Speed Racer to pop out of the trunk. And...
See, I was kind of hoping for Tom Cruise's character in Last Samurai to show up and be like, I'm American, I'm going to save it. Okay, that will take us out of the compares and into the shares for this week.
All right. I can start. I'm really disappointed that this is not in the compares. No one else picked up.
Oh, I did.
Cosmic Ghost Rider destroys Marvel history.
See, the problem is it doesn't have Donny Cates on the bottom of it. And since he was the creator of Cosmic Ghost Rider, I felt like it was not going to be nearly as good. And I'm going to hedge my bets and say that I was right.
I still liked it. It's not as good as, but it is. It's Paul Scheer, the comedian, actor guy. You'd know him if he's the author. Yeah, he's on Veep and a bunch of different shows. You can look it up. So Mike, you got it too then. We just didn't realize it was a compare then. So I mean, I hope it gets a little bit better. Like, this first one so far is just kind of almost like a silly retelling of Marvel history. It's like,
I think that's the whole point behind the title,
but he's not really destroying it. I mean, I guess in a way it is destroying. So, it's just.
Have you ever seen those the cars, the shorts with what's the tow truck's name? Mater.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
where he tells this Mater's tall tales, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
And he's
yeah.
telling this crazy thing, and then at the end, Lightning McQueen's like, "Mater, that didn't happen." He's like, "You was there too." That's that kept coming up in my mind every time yeah. he's telling these stories to this kid.
Yes. Yeah. It is. It is like Cosmic Ghostwriter's tall tales.
Yeah.
It, yeah. So far. So. But then I do wonder what happens if he ends up, because he's going to try to save the family. Like mm-hmm. he's going to try to not let Frank Castle's family die. So then
he even told the
really
kid
he really could F up the history,
right?
If he does that,
and so, he even told the kid because this I think he came in was it like a week before they all die?
Yeah,
and he tells the kid that his dad's doing some important stuff right now, but he's going to have time with you later, and he'll be playing superheroes with you like I am or something like that. So he plans on averting the crisis.
Yeah. Did you guys find any it like
yeah
you, what oh, else yeah, he's yeah. in
oh
I was Adult Swim stuff. There's like a not safe for work, I think. I just killed the page, so
I don't know. I've actually never seen that guy before in my life.
I've seen him, he looks familiar.
Anyway,
any who else has shares?
I don't have any for this.
So I got Wonder Twins number one for the boy. I decided
For the boy.
Decided to go ahead and read it. So the twins, Zan and
okay, question.
Yes.
Do we do the Wonder Twin powers activate?
Well, they don't say a power activate.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
they
it's a trash book.
later on they decide to race to school.
Wonder Twin hours activate in the form of a Ferrari.
And they say, but we'll do it with our powers. So they do it for the race, which I can't really find it right now. But so in this book, I don't remember them from being a kid, but Zan only transforms into water.
Mm-hmm.
And so Superman apparently knows their dad. They did something. They don't tell you what they did, but they're basically going to be outcasts on their planet. So Superman brought them to Earth as a favor to the dad.
Are they Kryptonian?
No.
Oh, okay.
They are something else. I didn't write it down. And so as Superman is telling Batman and Wonder Woman, you know, Batman is angry like usual, and he says, "Hey, you should have told us this ahead of time."
Batman being angry.
And Wonder Woman, she asks what their powers are, and he says, "Well, Zan turns into water." And she says, "Is that it?" And he's like, yeah. She's like, that is very underwhelming.
Just lampooning him.
Yeah. But the, you know, like the jokes in here, and then even how it's drawn, it's drawn
more cartoony. Yeah.
Kind of softer, like it's geared towards kids. But in school, they all had to talk about something that their parents did to embarrass them or something like that. And he starts talking about the people on this planet, whenever there's a thunderstorm, they it turns into like a huge orgy.
What?
It's called Thunderlust.
Well, hang on. Okay. This is a kid's book?
Does it actually say the word orgy in there?
No, it says, driven mad with thunderlust, Exorians writhe together, bonded by a single rhythm with the night. Men become women, women become animals, and the night throbs with their pleasure.
What a kid's book.
So,
there's so much material here. There's men fucking sheep. And
Michael read this before I did.
Oh, wow.
And so when I'm like, oh, my God, what did I give my kid? But he's at school.
Y'all seen The Matrix, right?
Oh, there it was.
Whoosh.
Oh, they did. Powers activate.
Okay.
I forgot they said
awesome.
It.
Okay.
Okay. So, all right. Makes me happy.
Good. Yes. So success, DC.
Like in PE class or track practice or something, and he goes into Thunderlust because there's a thunderstorm. So earlier in the book, they're fighting. I don't know how to pronounce this dude's name. I see him a lot as a villain. It's like the MX. He has to say his name backwards to be
Mixoplick.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they're fighting him. Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, and there's kind of like a stalemate. So then the next day and all this happens with the thunderlust, and that's essentially him becoming like to get it on like a man there. Or becoming like a mature being in whatever their race is. And so he's super embarrassed. Oh, that's what. So after that battle or during that battle, they were talking about Jaina was wanting to go help him. But Zan was just mainly concerned about becoming more popular in school. And he talked about getting a pet and getting a cool nickname. Well, the Thunderlust gave him a nickname, which was Thunderlust. So he's super embarrassed about that. And then next time they go to the Hall of Justice, Batman and Superman are telling him embarrassing stories about themselves to kind of make him feel better, which I thought was kind of cool.
Can I see that for a second? No, keep going. Keep talking. I just want to see if Batman looked fat to me or not. He's
checking out the noses.
Shut up. First off.
That's right, they're not Japanese.
First off.
Different noses?
No. I was going to say is...
But their planet might have been on a small island that had no contact with traitors.
Batman's smiling in this picture.
That's weird.
That's unrealistic to me. Yeah, I don't understand.
It's funny that out of all that entire description, that is the unrealistic piece.
It was all right. I think
for details.
I think after this first issue, I may preview number two before I give it to Michael.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Especially when we're talking about intergalactic space orgies, where men become women and women become beasts. You know what they
never like the beast with two backs.
I was gonna make a comment about that. I don't want to alienate an entire state.
I mean, you've already done it to a country.
So, yeah. I love you, Japan. The entirety of Japan thanks you.
Uncanny X-Men number 13. The best part about this issue is the mansion's been destroyed. We know all the other X-Men are off in the X-Men's reality.
It'd be really interesting to know how many times throughout the history of the
mansion's
X-Men.
Been destroyed.
Because it feels like every four issues, someone blows the mansion up. Like, I mean, Charles Xavier must have like a mutant contracting company just on rotation.
So Wolverine was able to get some supplies out of the rubble from the X mansion, but the only costumes he could find were the classic costumes.
Oh, that's fun!
Which just makes me really happy because we've got Wolverine in the yellow and brown, Cyclops in his '90s costume. The New Mutant characters are all in their late '80s, early '90s costumes. So. That was the best part of the issue. Plus, it's kind of cool. I mean, they have no idea what happened to the other X-Men still at this point. And they're like, if we're the last X-Men on Earth, we're just going to track down all the villains that are still here. And we're going to try to leave the place a little bit better than it was before. So if we die, we die. We're the last ones anyway.
I like that cover too. That's
Yeah,
I was just going to point out, like, this cover looks really, really nice.
So as of 2014, in real time, the mansion has been destroyed 7 times. So that's five more years of destruction.
Yeah, it's probably been at least 2 or 3 more times since then.
So I really like that.
Yeah. So I was going to say before we move on with the shares, what do we think about the Brooklyn Bel-Air Sour Partly Tartly? So it's 5.8. And it is brewed and bottled out of Brooklyn, New York.
It's a really solid sour.
I really enjoy it. I like it a lot.
It almost felt more, you know, of course their tagline is what, Party Tartly. It's almost more tart than sour. But yeah, I enjoyed the heck out of it.
It's as weird as this is to say, it's the sour is very smooth.
Yeah, it doesn't really sting you at the end. It's
Yeah.
I don't get beers like this very often, but this one's, I mean, it's not bad. It's pretty good.
So do you not like sours? It's not an acquired taste for you yet? Or
I just don't usually get it. I mean, I wouldn't say I'd like it or dislike it. I just don't. I get a lot of like KC Beer Company.
Pilsners or, yeah. Okay. Something that's drinkable, not going to weigh you down. That makes sense. All right. Do we have any more shares to talk about?
I have one more. Just all right. It's another. Oh yes, another comic out of the Age of X-Men series. It's Prisoner X, and it was the number one.
Who is it?
Bishop is jailed, and it's all the mutants that they haven't been able to control in the Age of X-Men. Cool part though is that the jail is the danger room. Like none of them know it, because again, this is all X-Men is created this entire reality, but they're actually in the danger room that's set up as a prison. Gabby is there. We finally find out where Gabby is in this reality, nice. And she's kind of an ass. She's not her normal, like, fun Gabby. She just kind of beats the crap out of Bishop and stuff. So, it's a little bit different for her. So, you have any more, Mike? Or for this one? No. The only other thing that I had real quick was I read the first three volumes of the Black Hammer series by Jeff Lemire. And they're really, really good. I'm going to try to at least find volume one and start passing it around between you guys. But it's like they're golden age heroes fighting this huge threat to the Earth. And then they suddenly disappear. They defeat this godlike being, and then suddenly they're gone. And they all show up on this farm. And this farm is set in this little town. No one in the town knows anything about superheroes, so they kind of have to hide their identity. And they can't leave. There's a barrier around this town, like that
under the dome.
One of the main characters dies almost right off because he tries to go through the barrier. It's really, really good. They just announced this week that somehow it's going to cross over with Justice League later this year. Well, there's going to be a Justice League Black Hammer crossover.
Wasn't that Dr. Star?
Dr. Star, yeah, I was going to bring that up. The Dr. Star we read a few issues of was in that same universe.
Oh, was in the Black Hammer
universe?
Yeah, it said from the universe of Black Hammer.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you liked that or not, but this was really good.
It was all right.
It was just weird.
And like, it felt like we jumped in midstream. Maybe had we read Black Hammer first, it would make more sense.
But I don't think he's part of the Black Hammer group, though.
I don't know, but maybe if you know what's going on in that universe, that makes more sense.
You get the origins, of course, of all these different superheroes, but you get it in the form of their memories and flashbacks, because they're just stuck on this farm after this.
It's... Every time you say form of, I'm like...
Oh.
Shape of?
Wonder Twin Powers activate in the form of Black Hammer. Wasn't that Dave Stewart that did the art for the original Black Hammer?
I don't know. I didn't write down the artist. I just know it was a Jeff Lemire.
I'm looking it up. I thought it was Dave Stewart. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll find out here in a second. Is it Secret Origins? It's the first one?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. It is Jeff Lemire, obviously, as we've said, if this will load. Do 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 do. Okay. All right. Well, it is. Oh, Dave Stewart did the colorization. So okay.
That's a good series. I definitely think you guys would like it. I mean, they have the Justice League spinoff coming with it, and then just this past week, there's another one that's set in the universe. It's called like Black Hammer 45. And I think it's these black pilots in World War II that were inspired by one of the heroes, the Black Hammer hero.
Tuskegee Airmen.
Yes, I was thinking.
Yeah, that's.
But it was. Fantastic. It just came out this past week. Yeah, I haven't picked it up yet. But yeah. So.
All right. Well, cool. Well, that is going to take us out of the shares and into the dares. So in the dares for this issue, what do we got this week?
I have Punisher the Platoon.
Okay.
Okay, so I really enjoyed this. There's a couple things that stood out to me. Number one, like when Frank Castle first got there, they asked how much combat experience he had, and he said none. But he immediately found one of the more veteran guys and was asking him questions, was taking in his advice into consideration. And the reason why that stuck out to me is because, like, we're being a recruiter for the Army, I've worked with ROTCs in three different places. The goal of ROTC is to make Army officers. When I was in Utah, there's one cadet that was getting ready to be commissioned, and he said that he was starting to get really nervous now that he's coming to the end. And I said, you know, just lean on your platoon sergeant, which would be so a new lieutenant going into the Army would be a platoon leader. They're technically in charge, but in his example, he has zero time in the Army, whereas the platoon sergeant should be a sergeant first class usually. So he could have anywhere between 8 to 15 years of service already in. So they're very obviously more knowledgeable. So since I give that advice out regularly, and I know I'm not the only one, is to lean on that senior enlisted guy to help mentor you. And that's essentially what he was doing in this. Another thing.
He had
thing,
the sense to listen and,
right,
and learn, yeah.
Right. Instead of just them talking and him doing what he wants to do, he actually took their advice. He also earned their respect with the bombing of that village, and they ended up killing, I think, four of the
VCs.
Yeah. Another thing, I didn't take notes on it. I can't remember where the context of the conversation was. But I think they just went through an attack, and he said something about the killing spoke to him, which seemed very interesting to me. Like, it's not like he liked it, but maybe he thinks that's what he was meant to do, which is why later on he becomes the Punisher.
Yeah. Interesting.
I thought it was just neat having all his own old platoon guys there telling stories about him. I thought that was a neat format to go with.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
I think we're ready for our third beer of the pod. This one is Flamingo Dreams Nitro from Left Hand Brewing out of Longmont, Colorado. Says it's super smooth and refreshing, a subtle zing from berry notes with a striking pink color. It's only 4.7 and only 11 IBU, so it should be pretty
drinkable,
smooth, and yeah.
Should be very little head, too, since it's a nitro beer.
Looks like a strawberry milkshake.
Anyway.
So while he's pouring, I can talk about Armory Wars real quick.
Yeah, Amory.
Amory.
I did the same thing for the longest time, dude. You're in good company.
Okay. So I think it was the first page. Maybe not the first page. When you hear their name, like, I saw Coheed and Cambria, and I was like, really? And then I remembered you guys were talking about they were all concept albums, which that made a little bit more sense since they're Coheed and Cambria, and the two main characters are Coheed and Cambria. I thought it was really fucked up that they talked him into killing all of his kids except for one.
Yes.
Yes.
The swords coming out of his arms were fucking awesome. The kid, I can't think of, what's his name? The kid that
Claudio.
Didn't die?
Claudio. Claudio. Yeah. Again, on
he
the,
can,
on
like,
the nose.
Phase through things, which is pretty cool. I enjoyed it.
I don't know what I think about this beer. I mean,
he is very different.
I think the nitro may actually hurt it.
I'm a little bit curious where it goes to after that. So
more crazy places.
Because this one,
he's
just
not the crowing yet in this one, is he?
No, yeah. No.
So it hasn't even gotten to the ridiculous.
Coheed and Cambria are still alive in this one, even at the end. So, yeah.
Spoiler.
A little bit, yeah.
I'll get you volume 2 at some point so you can see what. But it's.
If you ever want to read the graphic novel, I believe we both have a copy.
Oh, yeah.
Of the Good Apollo, I'm Burning Star 4. I mean, there was an actual 12-issue comic book series, but before that, there was a graphic novel that I'm pretty sure you need to drop a tablet of acid to understand.
Yeah. I'm surprised that St. Kevitz didn't draw it with that same sort of art style. So nobody's super down with the with the flamingo.
I like the Iceland one a little bit better.
Have you tried it? Did you take it? Mm-hmm. It's out there.
Thanos. I hope I don't break your heart. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
I didn't love it. I liked Cosmic Ghost Rider, that series, so much better.
Yeah.
Because this was just kind of Thanos on Thanos crime, where we're just beating Thanos's up. It was good. I enjoyed it, but I didn't love it as much as Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Yeah. I liked getting the better origin story of Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Exactly. Yes. And that part was cool. And the Black Silver Surfer was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
With Thor's hammer.
Yes.
Yeah. Then he cuts his arm off and then he kills him with his own hammer. Which yeah. I think is hilarious. Because he tells him he's going to do it. And he's like, I'm going to cut your arm off and I'm going to beat you with your own hammer. He's like,
But I guess how do you wield the hammer if you're not worthy? Because that's why he said he... You know, spent so much time not coming and fighting him is because he was trying to become worthy to wield the hammer.
Well, if you cut the dude's arm off while he's wielding the hammer, and
you just beat wield him with the hammer with his arm.
Yeah. He's picking up the arm, not the hammer.
Yeah, I mean that seems like an illogical.
I don't know. I'm just kind of Thanos'd out a bit because it's the same as Superman. It's like, okay, really, you're just that much of a badass. You're just gonna destroy the entire known universe.
See, I feel you on that, but then in Infinity Wars. The most recent one, Gamora just rolls up on him and chops his head off. So you're all powerful, except you're not the ones with the stones, and she is. And then it's just like
he doesn't have the stones there, does he? I mean, he had part like a piece of the time stone.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I think when he's gallivanting around,
destroying everybody and smoking Galactus, and
yeah, I think he's got a couple of them. Maybe I don't know.
Could be.
The one I'm going to talk about is Hungry Ghosts.
Oh, I'm interested. Because that looked weird.
I don't know if you all can see, but I'm not a very big writer sometimes, and I all capped wrote very weird. First off, number one, it makes me never want to go to Asia. Because...
Talk smack on the people.
No, because I'm afraid that some of the stuff that's in this book is going to come true. It's out there. Like, I don't even know. Like, it says written by Anthony Bourdain, but I don't know if he's
on a drug fuel.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. Some sort of like in a Gotta DeVita level haze. I mean, you're the one that dared it to me. I mean, did you know it was that ridiculous when you dared it?
Because
like the first part, they're like talking about the chefs and stuff. That's all fine.
I was warned. She said it gets crazy. I said, okay, I'll check it out.
Stephanie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ended up liking it.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was cool because apparently that game is a thing they used to do.
Yeah.
So they'd get drunk. And they'd tell ghost stories. Whoever told a story would go blow out a candle, look in the mirror, and see if they were possessed. The fact that it was from something real, and then all this craziness from that happened later is what really kept me reading it.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. Weird. Just, dude, it is, I mean.
Very weird.
Kid Lobotomy seems like normal compared to this shit.
I'm trying to remember some of the really messed up ones.
Like there was some demon that ate from the ass end.
Yeah, yeah. That there's a thing in it. Yeah, it has like this beak that
a butt beak.
Like, yeah, yeah. That like it gets it out of the person's. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. I must have not gotten to that part
definitely
yet.
Definitely not back in Sweden.
There's something, I can't remember, something in somebody's, there's something in somebody's belly, and there's a demon with a beak that he ate in from the ass to get to whatever was in their belly.
Yeah, yeah. And then the one chick who's...
I love how they're talking about this like it's normal.
Yeah.
Like, this is not supremely fucked.
Oh, no, it is. I'm trying to wipe it from my mind after you made me read it this summer. And it's slowly coming back about how messed up... Because doesn't one of the ladies, like, wear a chain of guys' balls around her neck that she chops off?
So at the end of the first issue,
please dare me next.
There, this demon lady fellatiates men on purpose and then chops their chops their delicious balls off so that she can make like some sort of like ball soup or something. I'm not even joking. That is what happens. Oh my god. Yeah.
Did you get through all of them?
No, I got through one and stopped because I'm like, fuck.
So you didn't even see the ass eater.
No, I don't.
So I think his next dare probably should be just that issue with the ass eater. Because you have the choice of a punishment beer or one ass eating comic.
It's the ultimate rim job.
Are you done?
Thank God.
Okay.
I'm done.
I had Farmhand, and I believe he gave me like 1 through 5 or 1 through 6.
It was the first story arc. I can't remember how many issues it was.
I've gotten through number one. I kept it. I do want to read the rest of them. It's just been kind of a crazy week, and I haven't had a chance. But I did get through number one. It's basically a story about this family who genetically engineers and farms their grown human body parts and organs. Hence the name Farmhand. yeah, so you know what could go wrong with that as you're attaching these grown on a farm body parts to people who have lost limbs or it's not as weird as
fellatiating demon who chops your balls off after she's done.
Yeah,
and that
not quite
Farmhand was another one that Stephanie told me to read, which I like them both. So.
Would that be an unhappy ending?
Depends on what perspective you're looking at. Okay.
I had James Bond Origin. I just enjoyed the crap out of this comic. It felt true to Ian Fleming's James Bond. Even though this is kind of pre-James Bond books, it's more about young James Bond kind of going to school and getting recruited, and then going and serving on a submarine, and just shenanigans ensue. Solid book, engaging story. I mean, the art was good. Everything about it was a good read.
So he's like a lieutenant or whatever in the Royal Navy, and that's essentially like his cover. And he's getting messages that he has to decipher through codes, which is the 007 part. So I thought it was cool seeing that duality between the two.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I remember in the movies he was always... wasn't he Commander James Bond, mm-hmm. Of the Royal Navy? So, yeah, super, super good read.
Sweet. Did you have a second one to talk about?
I think I talked about them both, didn't I? Yeah, it was Amory
and...
Of course, and, okay. Platoon, and Punisher Platoon.
All right. Well, that is going to take us out of the Dares and into the Impaired.
Our fourth beer of the pod is Snow Glare, a hoppy wheat ale from Breckenridge Brewery. So
we love us some Breckenridge.
You love Breckenridge, yeah. I would assume that this will be very, very tasty because most everything from them is.
So Brian Mann keeps wanting me to roll my R's, which I do not do because... Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Oh, that was a movie.
So my dad's side of the family live in El Paso. One of the times when I went to visit them, well, a lot of the times we'd cross the border into Juarez and we'd eat at the city market. I ordered fajitas and they brought me an avocado instead of guacamole. And I looked at my dad and I said, what the fuck is this? And he called the waiter over and they're talking in Spanish, which I don't speak. because when I was eight and asked my dad to teach me, he gave me the dictionary. So all my uncles and my dad started laughing. And I said, what are y'all laughing about? And my dad said, well, he thinks you're a gringo. He thinks the guacamole is going to be too hot. So the waiter would not bring me my guacamole without me rolling my R in my name. Oh, ever wow. Since then, I've never done it again because I got really pissed off because the guacamole was not even hot. I make it spicier than they did. So that's why I won't roll my R's.
It was meant to be a joke. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
your fey face. Hurt his feelers.
Your fey face. I just remember from Spanish class in high school that you have to roll your R's, otherwise you're not authentic.
Yeah, well, I'm American, so.
Well, that's fine.
America. America.
So what do we think of the snow glare?
That's pretty delicious. It's a hoppy wheat.
It's tasteful.
That's good.
It's very tasteful. It is, yeah. I like it a lot.
I don't know. So the only thing I have to compare it to is like 80 Acre, and it's been a minute since I've had 80 Acre, but I think this is better. It's more balanced, less hoppy.
I'm not a huge fan of wheat beer normally. Like,
because wheat beer, it's kind of boring.
Yeah. Like, Blue Moon's a wheat beer, right?
It's a Belgian white.
Oh, okay. Well, shows how much you know about beer.
I mean, Boulevard Unfiltered Wheat. Yeah. Any Hefeweizen.
I can't do the Boulevard Unfiltered Wheat. It's just, I.
Most times they serve it with like a slice of lime to give it a little flavor with it. But yeah. Anything that you have to serve with a slice of.
Exactly, sir.
But exactly. I mean, kind of to crap on your point, though, Blue Moon, they serve with a slice of orange. And the slice of
and I was getting ready to tell you, I'm not a huge fan of Blue Moon.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyway.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. I've been waiting all issue to hear this.
So, in our last issue, I don't even believe I brought it up, although I could have because I bring it up quite a bit, but I think it was you, Brian, that brought up. Oh no! You're helping my point in this story. You brought up the point that Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse won best animated feature.
Yes.
Which it did. To which Brian's reply was, why do I care if a bunch of Riri McGee's think a movie is good? So,
end quote.
Yeah. So, I did the most extensive research I've ever done for this podcast. And I went into, I went back into Twitter, back to the mid-December tweets. And I'd like to read you some Riri McGee tweets.
Oh, boy.
From some Riri McGee's. So this is Gabriel Baugh, illustrator of Umbrella Academy. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is awesome. It deserves every praise it's gotten so far and beyond. It's just so groundbreaking and fun and inspiring. Breaking the mold, always. As an artist and storyteller, this is something I look forward to every day and seldom find. Sean Gordon Murphy, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse was incredible. One could argue it's the best comic book movie ever because it's such a unique blend of those two formats. In other words, it feels like you're watching a comic and a movie all at once. Mm-hmm. Gary Dugan, man, you can't overhype Into the Spider-Verse. It's wonderfully fun, crazy, stylish, and heartbreaking in the right spots. When the lights came up, my son said it was his new all-time favorite film. Bill Sienkiewicz, congratulations to everyone associated with Into the Spider-Verse. It's a monster and a fist-sized thank you from me. They made me cry tears of joy. I took heat at the time of attempting to portray a character's essence visually, that how a character feels is as important as looks as to the reader. I often thought my efforts were lost, but to a select few like-minded souls, glad to be so wrong. Jim Lee. To all the amazing creators, animators, and producers who made the unreal, dazzling Spider-Verse a reality, truly sensational. Seth Rogen, no matter what dimension you're in, I'll be there making movies. Go check out Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which was made by some of my wildly talented friends who I'm jealous of.
All right.
Kevin Smith. Okay. No, fuck you. This is my time. is a passionate love letter to the medium. Brad Meltzer, wow, Into the Spider-Verse got me teary and inspired and is everything right about how to be a hero. It's also the most visually stunning film I've seen in forever with Sienkiewicz DNA. Brian,
Sienkiewicz.
Mitch Jarrett's Oh Hell Yes. Patton Oswalt, I can't say enough about how brilliant Into the Spider-Verse is. This has been a nonstop year for me and I'm glad I'm ending it in such a cinematic high note. Clark Gregg, Agent Coulson. Spider-Verse was one of the best movies of the year and one of the best superhero movies ever made. Scott Snyder. I'm only halfway through Spider-Verse and it's already one of the best superheroes I've ever seen. He does a lot more than that. I'll stop there. But
all those guys vote on the Academy Awards, right?
Nope, I'm just pointing out some other Riri McGee. So if liking Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse makes me a Riri McGee, then you can fucking call me Riri McGee Prime because it's one of the best movies I have seen in a long, long time in Rant.
I wasn't sure where you were going to go with this, but the fact that you got a What's My Name sticker and wrote Riri McGee Prime on it and stuck it on your chest. Oh, boy. That was priceless.
I feel better now.
Okay. As a moderator of this debate.
Oh, there's no debate.
Would you like a rebuttal, sir?
No, I'm good. Okay. I believe my initial thing was just because somebody votes on something and says it's good doesn't mean I have to like it.
Right.
So I get it. You're passionate about it. I can't get my camera to focus because I wanted to take a picture of your awesome button.
We'll take a picture of it later.
But
there's also the I don't like Spider-Man. A portion.
I'm not going to open the can of worms again.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Not for me. and I would just say the more people try to push me into watching it, the less chance it will ever happen.
Fair enough. So we're going to get
that in. That being said, though, this is a podcast about geek shit.
Yeah.
And to just be close-minded and just refuse to watch things. I mean, that would be like me daring and somebody being just like, nope, can't read that.
Which I believe we've done on this and we're like, no, I can't read that comic. And then people drink a punishment beer. So if I got to drink a fucking punishment beer for not watching something that I just don't want to watch.
No, because we thought, I mean, if we were going to do that.
We're medallions and drink a beer if it will keep me
we from were gonna ever do that,
hearing about
it. It would have been Spider-Man Homecoming Jesus a long Christ. Time ago. Yeah.
Okay, so this was from March 15th, a DC press release. We had talked a while back about, you know, they're trying some of these new WonderCon, they're gearing some of these comics towards younger readers.
Oh, sure.
Well, so they've decided to not just dip the toe in the water. They've gone full in. DC announces today two young reader imprints, DC Zoom and DC Ink.
Will it have Thunderlust in it?
I actually haven't read the whole thing, so I mean, maybe. I mean, who knows? So, in the DC Zoom, which is geared towards readers 12 and under, we have Super Sons, DC's.
That's not new, though.
Supergirl. Well, it's called Super Sons, the Polar Shield Project. Whatever. But some of the ones that are very interesting are The Superman of Smallville, The Secret Spiral of the Swamp Kid, Black Canary Ignite, and then in January of next year, they're doing like a young Diana Princess of the Amazons. And then they're also doing a like a young Green Lantern. Flipping over to like a preteen to teenager, the DC Ink as Mira Tidebreaker, which actually looks kind of cool. Teen Titans Raven, which I'm going to be all about because
we knew that was coming.
Yeah. Harley Quinn Breaking Glass, and a one that I think everyone will be interested in, Batman Nightwalker. Adopted from Stuart Moore, adopted by Stuart Moore from Mary Lou's prose novel from the DC Icon series. I don't know what that is.
I feel like I'm a lot less interested after the description.
But I thought it was very interesting that.
Well, yeah, they need to open up that market.
But I mean,
there's a lot more mature books out there than kind of more kid friendly books.
But, you know, with such books that we've had like
Bat Penis,
Ruin World, and a couple of the other ones that are age appropriate, but they can also have a secondary meaning or adults can find enjoyment in them. I just thought it was very interesting that DC has like branded their own imprint that is going to be strictly focused on writing for a younger audience. Like they tried the whole, we're going to put it in Walmart, and that really didn't go that well for them. So now they're like, all right, well, we're just going to put it on Front Street. We want.
I wouldn't say it didn't go well, but I mean, I do think they need to do this too. Like, because the Walmart thing's actually expanding. Like,
oh really?
Oh yeah. There's now Flash and something else started up too. So there more titles are being added to it. There's also a Target one now, but it's. I don't need to get into it now. It's weird. Have you guys seen the DC Primal Age things at all?
Oh, no.
No.
Well, that sounds awful. It's basically He-Man style figures.
I'm out.
As DC. And it's Target exclusive. There's a huge 100-page comic that goes along with it. There's a $60 almost...
What the fuck?
Castle almost, yeah. It's like Castle Grayskull, Snake Mountain kind of thing. Only it's the Bat Cave.
Oh my god!
But yeah, like Batman just has the tights like He-Man on with the bat mask, and then a symbol on his chest.
Oh no!
And there's a Joker.
Are you shirtless otherwise?
Pretty, I think so. That's, yeah. There's a Joker. There's a Scarecrow, a King Shark, and a Mr. Freeze. There's an Ace the Bat Hound that looks like Battle Cat that Batman rides.
Oh my god!
But it's just bad enough that I want it. So bad.
No, fuck no!
Oh my god! I want the Snake Mountain Bat Cave looking thing. It really, yeah. My wife has said no quite a few times. Every time I pass it, but man, it's tempting.
So who's Skeletor in this?
Joker, I would guess, is
Joker. Oh my god!
You gotta go see it. You need to at least see what it looks like because it's out there.
Oh my god! It sounds.
But I am glad that they're trying to get more.
Putting out like, oh, here's the kids book. I mean, they're throwing five titles out, and then for 12 and under, and then 13 plus, they're throwing out five more titles over the next 9 months. I mean, I don't see Marvel doing that. Marvel's still over there doing, you know, War of the Realms or whatever, you know? I just think, like, if you're trying to get kids into comics, you need to have a kids comic, and I don't know that Marvel has because, like, the only ones that I really see are, like, those, the Impossible, Ant-Man and Wasp, or whatever. And they're, like, really cutely drawn. And I'm like, okay, well, if Logan wants to read a comic, I mean, you don't want to give him Unnatural or Infidel. Just
read Old Man Hawkeye.
Well, I know, but, like, what if he had a book that was, like, preteen? Oh, Jesus H. Christ. What the F?
Oh, no.
There's no way in hell.
No, no.
Oh, my God.
He's not shirtless, at least.
I feel like that's the least of the problems.
Like, that's what you're focusing on? Is that he doesn't have a shirt on?
That's not the one that's in stores, though.
Is it worse than that?
Well, you specifically brought it up.
The way he described it.
Well, because He-Man is
shirtless.
Yeah. Okay, now it's just something. Anyway.
You're looking for a little bat nipple.
There's the bat cave playset that goes.
Now the bat cave actually kind of looks cool. If I could just play with my regular Batman figures with it.
I mean, I have the original bat cave from like the mansion that you open
animated
up.
Animated series?
Yeah. Oh, maybe.
Is it?
I think so. I don't know.
That's awesome.
It's like it folds up into a bat mansion, but then you can open it up. And cool. God damn, no.
That's awesome.
He's looking at me like I'm a retard, so anyway.
But I do that a lot of times.
Look behind you.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I would have to take them out of their,
God.
Boxes to play with them.
But, out of their packaging.
Yeah, which would hurt my heart.
Yeah. That sound would just nails on a chalkboard.
I kind of feel the need to poke the bear a little bit. Since you brought up a punishment beer, if you go on average of a 6-issue set, the rule is you read at least one issue. So 125 minutes running time.
Oh my God, dude.
21 minutes.
We're still doing this.
You can shut it off.
I'm not kidding. Not kidding.
So, Arrow got canceled.
Which is not shocking.
But after 8 seasons, yeah. I mean, that's a good run. There's nothing to be ashamed about.
At first, I was upset. However,
why did it make you upset?
Well, just because I've been watching them so long, like I still enjoy them. The stories do get repetitive. Now I read an article and it made sense. You can't continue to come up with new storylines. That's why a few of them have become repetitive. After I read that, it kind of calmed me down a little bit.
But the thing is, there's so much back history to pull from.
Thank you.
Of stories. I mean, DC has got volumes of Green Arrow or Green Lantern that, you know, or they famously did team ups and Green Arrow Longbow Hunters that they teased was coming never came. And
well, we're in, I think, season 7 now, and there's gonna be a season 8. It's just gonna be not a full season, and then it's gonna end after that.
So Green Arrow, the first appearance of Green Arrow was More Fun Comics 73 in 1941. So you've had 70 years of Green Arrow history, and you're telling me you can't come up with new stories? You can't come up with...
I'm not saying I can't.
I don't know that you want some of those stories.
That's
it. From the
story. You're right. Sure. But, I mean, you could do Kevin Smith's Quiver. You could do Mike Grell's Longbow Hunters. You know, there's at least two stories right there that you brought Slade Wilson back for 5 seconds. I'm sure there's more Deathstroke stuff you could have done.
But there's going to be a Batgirl TV show. I don't know if that's finalized.
You mean Batwoman?
Yeah, Batwoman. They've been talking about it ever since she had an appearance.
Yeah.
They had another crossover.
Mm-hmm. Which they scratched the Crisis on Infinite Earth crossover because they canceled Green Arrow.
No, it's still going to happen. That's going to be the end of Arrow.
That seems like a poor choice to me.
Well, I mean, the first few seasons of Arrow were pretty fantastic.
Sure, but it... But,
and then I just... When he and was it
Felicity
were playing Susie Homemaker, I was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out.
But I just thought it was very interesting.
Oh, and I can't remember her comic book name, but so since you guys aren't watching the show, look, in the current season, they're jumping forward to the future, and Oliver Queen's little kid is now an adult. Uh-huh. And like right now, currently, Felicity is pregnant. So that dude is an adult at this point also. So the chick is an actual like superhero in comic books, and they're going to have another spinoff with her. So they're doing these other TV shows, these other spinoffs. They can't have
Black Canary?
No, not Black Canary.
So who's the kid with?
It was Oliver Queen fling before he was Green Arrow.
Right.
That was way back in like.
So who's Felicity's baby with?
You find out.
Oliver Queen.
What?
They're married.
But in the show?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm definitely not watching it now.
But that's
like the character of
Nightstar or Black Star or something like that is a chick.
Just give it 21 minutes.
That's about half the episode though. I think 8 minutes. First commercial.
I think it's There have been people. There have been people complaining about it being repetitive. Number one.
Well,
number two.
It's a television show.
They have these other spinoffs planned already. They can't tie all their all their assets into comic book type stuff.
Okay.
You know, like they already have five shows.
Okay. Here's the only
problem.
They have
two more coming.
I understand that, but here's my problem. You made a show called Arrow. That's specifically about the Green Arrow, which is a comic book character. You use that to make Flash. Then you use Flash to make Wonder or Supergirl. They're all comic book characters. So to sit here and tell your target audience, which is people who read comic books and who enjoy seeing that in the real, that you don't have time to go back and pull stuff from the comic books is a fucking cop-out, in my opinion.
Maybe viewership dropped also. I don't know.
Sure, because you're turning a comic book into a soap opera.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, to me during the first season, going back to the island was I mean, that was almost more important than what was going on.
Those flashbacks.
Present day, it was the flashbacks.
Yeah.
And then
after season three, they stopped doing flashbacks.
Well, but it was like season two, he had the awful hair and was, you know, doing some crazy stuff over.
Well, and you also had Merlin as the Black
Archer.
Yeah. You know, and you had Deathstroke.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like to me like people who are like, oh, well, I want to see Huntress, you know, like
to me, it's you got there because of comic book people,
yeah,
and then you forget your roots and make it for everybody else,
yeah.
I mean, I've seen that with.
I just don't understand why they think that they can. I mean, obviously they can't get away from it because they're canceling the show. So CW has named it the Arrowverse. So when they cancel Arrow, what exactly do they think they're going to call it then?
I'm sure it's going to stay the Arrowverse. What they'll probably do is, even though the show's being this is my guess, is during the crisis on Infinite Earths, because right now Supergirl is in a different Earth.
Yeah, it's like Earth 61 or something like that.
So Crisis of Infinite Earths, I think they're going to bring her to our Earth or their Earth, and Arrow is just going to die. And that would be the reasoning for stopping the show.
I mean, if they do it like that, it's fine. But then you literally eliminate.
And in the future spots in this current season, like Felicity gets murdered. She does something to where you kind of think she might be bad. And so maybe when Oliver dies, it kind of like makes her flip out. Which would lead to why all these crazy things are going on in the future now.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know about all that. Seems like whoever the people running the show don't know what they're doing. I mean, because you're going to have a extended universe called the Arrowverse, but you're not going to have a show called the Arrow. And then the stuff you're doing in the Arrow show, you're just making up because you're don't want to, or you're too lazy to modify comic books and put it in there. I get why you can't do Longbow Hunter, because it's pretty much just Oliver Queen. And then what are the other people going to do? I understand that. But you could take the essence of Longbow Hunter. Because, like, Seattle... Oh, I'm sorry. Star City, I assume, has forest parts around it.
Well, if you're in the Pacific Northwest, it would.
You could have him, instead of being abandoned, go out on like a long adventure journey and not come back for a while, and then have him, like half of the show is about his longbow hunterness, and then half the show is like the people still in Star City fighting against whatever.
Well, he did go away for a while a long time ago. He went back to the island for an extended period of time.
I think they're just scared to call it out and be like, yeah, this is from Longbow Hunt, you know, whatever. Anyway, one of the final things I want to talk about is I guess Disney has seen the error of their ways and rehired James Gunn to direct Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
I thought you were going to talk about them canceling Marvel Comics.
No, we talked about that already. Talked about that already.
So they rehired Mr. Gunn.
Mr. Gunn.
So now it's just a question of, will he do Suicide Squad 2 first, or will he do Guardians 3 first?
My guess is whichever one, whichever Brinks truck gets there first to back up to his house and deposit money.
Yeah.
I find it odd that he's contractually obligated to do a movie for both major studios at the same time. Because he didn't drop Suicide Squad 2.
Because that worked out very well for him.
I think they're in pre-production for Suicide. And Idris Elba is going to replace Will Smith as Deadshot.
Which, I love me some Idris Elba. It just feels a little weird casting.
Maybe. I mean, I thought Will Smith
was really the weird casting.
Yeah. So. Because the guy from the television show, I don't know why. That's a whole other point. But because they had a Deadshot in the Arrow and Flash universes in the CW already, and they had an Amanda Waller. You know,
but they never seem to want to pull from those ranks,
which I don't understand because Marvel. Yeah, has...
I think the TV Flash is way better than the movie Flash.
I don't think anybody's going to argue that point. But that also could not necessarily be Ezra Miller's fault. That could be the fact that you saw him Justice League.
I think it's just because they were in season like 4 or 5 or something by the time the movie came out, and I just got used to seeing him.
What were you going to say, Brian?
Speaking of which, Ezra Miller is teaming up with comic book writer Grant Morrison to pen a new screenplay for the Flash solo movie.
Who wrote Flashpoint Paradox?
Jeff Johns.
Yeah.
Oh, not him. Okay.
But I mean, that's...
I mean, that's a power. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It seems pretty interesting. I don't know about Ezra Miller being a writer necessarily, you know, but
if it gets him into the character more, that's...
Yeah, but that Grant Morrison fellow, you know, yeah. I don't know if he's done anything good or not. It's a lie. I do. I know he's, you know,
he's pretty fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Did you also see, and we don't have to talk, it's been very long on this, but I do think it's interesting. So on the Disney Plus app, you know, that they're coming out with, that they're doing What If shows.
What? Really?
Yes, but they're going to contain like the stars of the movies. Like, they're going to get the people that have been playing.
Well, I know that they're doing
Loki,
and they're bringing back Tom Hiddleston,
Scarlet Witch,
and Vision.
Yeah, but no, these are just straight up like,
oh my god, dude. What if? Are they going to do like a What If Daredevil shot Kingpin, and they're going to bring it back to the end of season 3, and like, what if Daredevil killed Kingpin?
I don't know, but it sounds that.
Could you imagine that? Could you imagine if they did like a TV movie or like a 90-minute episode of Daredevil with Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio, and at the end of season 3 where he does, spoiler, doesn't kill him and lets him go, he does beat him to death, and then it's the next 90 minutes or what happens after that? That would be amazing to me.
It could be really cool. I mean, it's just crazy that we've gotten to the point.
What else are they going to do?
Well, I mean...
Like, what if Thor was the Frost Giant?
Yeah, I mean, you really like that comic.
Are they gonna? Well, you did too, didn't you?
Oh yeah, yeah, it was excellent.
Are they really gonna get Chris Hemsworth to come play Thor again? I mean, that's not gonna be fucking cheap.
No, but it's Disney, so I don't think they're hurting.
Yeah. Back the Brinks truck up.
Yeah, that might take more than one Brinks truck.
But yeah, I mean, it's just crazy that's where we've gotten to, is to the point where they can now start just being like, let's make a silly story about what could have happened if,
you know. And I always give shit about Marvel because like they're just hand over fisting money, but if they're really going for it, like, they're not only going to do movies after Avengers Endgame, but then they're going to start doing like one-offs. That could be special. Brian, you peeked up a little bit ago.
No, it's fine. It was
fake news.
It looked like it was going to be the Flashpoint Paradox for the Flash movie. And then later on that says, though, that's not currently the plan. So I thought I heard that
a while ago.
Originally, yeah. When they were talking about Justice League, they were going to have was it Jeffrey Dean Morgan? And Laura Cohn, whatever her name is, who played Martha and Thomas Wayne in
Batman.
BVS, yeah. Be Martha and Thomas Wayne in the Flashpoint Paradox universe, which I'm 100% down for because that would work and it would be continuity. And then they were like, yeah, well, the actors want to do it, but the studio doesn't seem interested. Okay. Because, I mean, I think if you pick like a big crossover event of the last like 20 years that you would want to see on the big screen, I mean, Flashpoint Paradox has got to be up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're shying away from it because they did in the TV show.
I mean, they did Death of Superman and Doomsday and that, but then they decided to throw all those into Batman vs. Superman. So, I mean, they didn't shy away from it too far. Regardless.
Beer.
What do we think? I mean, the snow. Oh,
I forgot.
Yeah. So we had the Ballast Point Even Keel, the Brooklyn Bel Air Sour.
Oh, jeez.
The Snow Glare.
Yeah, it's probably not the
Flamingo Dreams Nitro.
It's probably for not
snow.
It's probably not the Flamingo. No. Man, dude, that Brooklyn.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going
with. Was it Party Tartly?
Party Tart. Party Tartly.
Oh, man, it was really, really good.
Yeah, that's my vote.
That's mine.
Yeah.
That's snow. I had Brooklyn until I drank the snow.
And
you like the snow clear?
At least it wasn't yellow snow.
So the Brooklyn is the winner, eh?
Yes.
For this one? All right. Brooklyn, Bel Air Sour. Bel Air Sour. Okay. So, all right. Well, that's how that goes. Anything else?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Like and rate the show, everyone.
Like, rate, subscribe if that's a possibility. I don't know. Really.
Follow us on Twitter.
Twitter, at PorterGraphicPC. Facebook.com/ Porter Graphic Podcast, maybe?
Something like that?
Yeah, Porter Graphic Podcast. Or you can send us an email at trashpandaradio@gmail.com. All right.
All right.
Till next time, everybody.
#break free.